Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Emcure Pharmaceuticals Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saurabh Paliwal, Head of Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Emcure Pharmaceuticals. We'll begin today's session with opening remarks from the management, followed by a Q&A session. Joining me today on this call are Mr. Satish Mehta, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Taj Shaikh, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Samit Mehta, Full-Time Director and COO, Mr. Rick Thapar, President, Corporate Development, Strategy, and Finance, and Mr. Piyush Nahar, Executive Vice President, Corporate Development and Strategy. We hope you had an opportunity to review the financial results, the results presentation, and the press release, which was released earlier this afternoon. Before we start, please note that this call is being recorded. I also need to remind everyone about the safe harbor related to today's call. Certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. These statements are based on our current expectations, assumptions, and management's views as of today. Actual results may differ materially due to a range of factors, including market conditions, regulatory developments, competitive dynamics, operational factors, and other risks and uncertainties. The detailed disclaimer accompanying the results presentation and the press release applies to this earnings call. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Mehta to begin his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Saurabh. Good afternoon to all of you. This is Satish Mehta, CEO of Emcure, and I'm absolutely pleased to speak with you post-publication of our Q1 results, which I believe you must have seen it by this time. Before I start talking about the performance of the quarter which has ended, I would like to share some important board and organizational updates. Some important details I would like to share with all of you. Number one, our Chairman, Mr. Burjis Desai, and as far as Burjis is concerned, he's associated with me for more than three decades, has been appointed as member of National Commission for Minorities, member of National Commission of Minorities. He has been appointed. It's a full-time employment of the Government of India. As a result of this particular appointment, Burjis is going to step down. Burjis Desai is going to step down from the boards of all listed companies. So obviously, as far as Burjis Desai is concerned, he will retire from the board of directors of Emcure at the conclusion of our AGM, annual general meeting. As I told some time back, Burjis and myself, we have been working together more than 35 years, and he has been very much responsible in shaping the value system of the value system and culture of the organization, and immense guidance and contribution he has given to Emcure. Obviously, being a stalwart and a very eminent lord in his own right, he has helped in terms of improving the governance standards and institutional processes of the company, and we'll obviously continue whatever we have jointly built over a period of the last 35 years and take it to the next level. Anyway, the entire management of Emcure and each and every Emcurean is absolutely grateful to Burjis for the contribution that he has given to the company in the last 35 years, and things wouldn't have happened but for his active participation. With the recommendation of the board, I will now take on the role of chairman. In addition, Satish Mehta will take on the role of chairman in addition to my existing role as managing director and CEO of the company post the conclusion of the coming annual general meeting. In a weird way, I feel happy about the development because I jokingly keep on saying that I started my journey in the early 1980s, and I still vividly remember the first year's turnover of the company was less than 10 lakhs. At that time also, I was managing director and CEO. And now, you know, I got promotion after 40 years, you know, more than 4 decades of services to the organization. And now, you know, I'm the chairman and CEO of the company because of the support that I received, you know, from you all. I assure all of you that company strategy, operations, execution, everything remains absolutely unchanged. In terms, you know, this new position that has been entrusted to me, I feel humbled. And I'm committed to give more than what I've done so far, and I will work very closely with the board, senior management team, and each and every Encurion to take the company to the next level. So the first thing I told you about Varghese, you know, stepping down from the board of the company for after having been appointed as member of the minority commission. The second important announcement I would like to make is that Samit Mehta now takes over as Chief Operating Officer of Encure, as CEO of COO of Encure. And as far as Samit is concerned, you know, as you all know, as I told you in the beginning, he is extremely passionate about science and technology. He has done his MBA from Wharton, and he has spent, you know, more than 2 decades with the organization. And he has also been involved in giving a lot of innovative products, you know, and has worked very closely, you know, with the R&D and manufacturing. And now, you know, going forward, he will have a broader oversight of group R&D operations licensing activities. And I have every reason to believe that Samit will play a bigger role, not necessarily in the areas, you know, where he is directly involved, but overall strategic inputs, you know, will get from Samit as he's getting, you know, committed and to the next generational leadership change, you know, that will happen in the organization. So that's a very important development that has taken place, that Samit is going to become the COO. He will get more and more involved in the management of the company and clear signal to everyone about the way forward. The third important thing that has happened, that we have just recently acquired 12% minority stake in Genova. And now, you know, Genova happens to be completely owned, 100% owned subsidiary of Encure. So with the strategic platform, the strategic control of our biological platform will obviously ensure that we have a very sharpened focus on biosimilars and obviously adjacent therapeutic platforms. So the another thing, you know, that we have done, and biosimilars, you know, is very close to my heart. In fact, you know, we began the journey 15, 16 years back. So there, you know, as far as Samit is concerned, because of his passion for science and technology, apart from being, you know, Chief Operating Officer of Encure, he also becomes Chief Executive Officer of Genova, our biotech arm, wholly owned 100% subsidiary. And he will obviously be focusing on taking Genova biosimilars and other, you know, technologies to the next level. Because I personally believe the way the things are happening at the global level, a lot of things are happening in the field of biologics, and obviously Samit's leadership to Genova will ensure, you know, that we will have a robust product pipeline going forward, because biosimilars and biologics are going to play a very important role. The Genova consolidation now allows us full control over India and foreign subsidiaries, because all subsidiaries, Genova, Juventus, now everything is 100% owned by the parent company, giving us a very simplified and aligned group structure that ensures, you know, strategy coordination across all businesses. So I talked to about three major events, Darjeet Rao stepping down, I assuming the role of chairman of the company. The second thing I talked about, you know, Samit becoming COO of Encure, very clear signal about way forward. The third thing I talked, you know, is obviously about Genova minority stake being acquired 12.06, and now, you know, each and every company under the Encure umbrella is 100% owned by parent company. Having discussed about these three major events, now let me focus on our quarterly performance, which I believe most of you have seen. So as far as our FY27 first quarter is concerned, it's the second year of our 5-year plan, and I'm very pleased to say that we have started on a very strong footing, and Q1 gives a very, very encouraging early signal. the Q1 FY 2027 reflected strong all-round performance with broad-based growth across revenue, profitability, and earnings. Let me tell you what has happened. As far as revenue for the quarter is concerned, it grew by 22.8% year-on-year to 2,580 crores. 2,580 crores, I repeat, supported by momentum across geographies. As far as EBITDA is concerned, it has grown by 25.8% to 508 crores, and margin has improved. Margin has improved to 19.7 percentage points, 50 basis points more, and reflecting the productivity gains and operating leverage that has happened in this particular quarter. As far as PAT is concerned, profit after tax has grown faster at 36.2% to 292 crores, underlining the strength of quarter's operating performance. Enormous amount of excess control has been exercised in operating parameters and operating performance. Again, outstanding performance as far as the second year of the five-year strategic plan, about which I talked last time. We have obviously begun on very strong footing. With that, let me turn to the performance of what has happened in India. As far as India business is concerned, on year-on-year basis, it has grown by 10.2%. We have done 1,095 crore, returning to double-digit growth over the quarter previous year, Q1 of previous year. If you compare with Q4 of 2026, I repeat, we have grown by 12%. As far as the performance is concerned, it is in line with our plan and line with our expectations. I must say that all of our leading brands in CNS, cardiology, and gynecology have showed very good traction, very good growth. We have also seen improvement in Zuventus following the changes which have taken in the previous quarter. In the previous quarter, as I told you last time, there was a bit of problem in Zuventus, but now we are moving towards stability. What really happens, there are three areas on which we have been working: stability, consolidation, acceleration. Stability we have achieved. We are almost in the process of completing consolidation, and now we are obviously moving towards acceleration going forward, having achieved the first two objectives that we have set for ourselves. Again, as far as the in-licensed products from Sanofi, Roche, along with Poviztra from Novo Nordisk, with semaglutide from Novo Nordisk, the performance complemented the performance of our own brands and broadened our presence in relevant therapy areas. It's a matter of happiness that through Poviztra, we have a very solid presence in obesity market, which I believe is going to grow going forward. I'm also happy to inform that we have entered into consumer business through our wholly owned subsidiary, Emcure Wellness, and that is also getting traction. In fact, one of the product, Little Drops, that we have is showing early signs of scalable growth going forward. It has been very well received by the consumer. It is showing good traction going forward. I'll keep on telling you quarter-on-quarter about the performance of Little Drops as we go forward. We remain confident of continued growth in India as we strengthen sales teams and portfolio gain traction. I feel going forward, whether it is Q2, Q3, Q4, we'll see the northward movements as far as the Indian business is concerned. As I told you last time, as far as Indian business is concerned, there is lot of, what I would say, overseeing of the performance from senior management, I included. Obviously, this particular part of the business is very close to our heart, and you will see positive movement quarter after quarter as far as India business is concerned. As I told you some time back, I think the process of consolidation is behind us, and now we will obviously move towards acceleration. Having said that, now let me turn my attention to international market. As far as the international business is concerned, it delivered a very strong and robust growth as far as the quarter is concerned. With revenue of 1,485 crore, 1,485 crore, recording a growth of 34.2%. Growth was supported by base business ramp-up, new launches, and obviously, you know, we had tailwinds because of currency. All regions contributed to this strong performance. Just to recap, as far as Europe is concerned, Europe grew by 32.8% to 537 crore. It growth led by a strong base business performance and obviously, you know, enhanced contribution from liposomal amphotericin, enhanced contribution from amphotericin B. As far as Canada is concerned, Canada grew in the first quarter by 24.6% to 427 CR with continued growth in the base business, while rest of the world, grew by 44.8% to 522 crore, led by very strong performance in ARV HIV business. Now, having spoken about stable performance of international market and also, you know, getting back on the growth track, you know, as far as the domestic business is concerned, let me spend a few moments, you know, on the R&D and the pipeline that we have. During the quarter which ended, we received 15 plus product approvals across developed and emerging markets. Across developed and emerging markets, we received 15 product approvals. These approvals provide visibility for continued business growth for Emcure across markets. Because as far as the international markets are concerned, the growth is driven by the quality of filing, you know, that we have, what type of products that we find and how many approvals we get. That plays a very important role. And it's a matter of happiness to inform my investors that we got 15 approvals in the quarter, you know, that has just ended. As we discussed previously, we continue to build differentiated capabilities across biologics, complex injectables, novel delivery system, especially focused on liposomal platform, you know, where we have a reasonably good understanding. So I think, you know, we are going to focus on the technology-driven differentiated products. That is going to be the core strategy that we will be pursuing as far as the emerging markets and Europe and Canada is concerned. Again, something interesting has happened. As in the month of July, as part of government technology transfer, government-led technology transfer, ICMR licensed a novel anti-HPV candidate, for cervical neoplasia to Emcure. This particular product, you know, will have to go through various phases, and we are very excited because this is NCE. And the development is also part of our women healthcare portfolio. As you know, that is the women healthcare portfolio. Gynecology is one segment, you know, where we are doing well, and this is part of that particular segment. Now, again, as far as July is concerned, we signed a royalty-free, non-exclusive, voluntary licensing agreement with Merck Sharp & Dohme to make and sell a generic version of experimental once-a-monthly oral HIV pill in 129 low and lower middle-class income countries. The drug alimetravir, a pre-exposure prophylaxis or PRP candidate, is currently in late stage development. As I told you, we do exceedingly well as far as the ARV segment is concerned. So last time, you know, we spoke about lenacapavir, the molecule, you know, which has been licensed by Gilead, and this is one more feather in our cap, getting MS3 product, you know, which is also a path-breaking molecule, oral pill once a month. So obviously, you know, as we go along, as far as ARV portfolio is concerned, that also we are consolidating. That's what is going on. Now, in conclusion, I would like to tell that as far as FY27 is concerned, strong start to the second year of our five-year journey. We delivered the broad-based growth, saw improvement in India over the Q4 of FY26, consolidation as far as Zoventus is concerned. We have continued with our strong international momentum. acquired full ownership of Genova and deepened our leadership bench. Now, as far as we are concerned, our priorities are absolutely well-defined. The emphasis going forward will be on execution, that is key to success. I believe very strongly on that. Second thing, you know, acceleration and improvement as far as the Indian domestic market is concerned. We'll keep on doubling down on the international business where scale is also going to play an important role, where getting, you know, technology-driven differentiated products is going to play an important role. We keep on focusing on that. And we also will work to advance the differentiated pipeline and convert growth into operating leverage. If you recollect, you know, last time, you know, I very specifically mentioned that we as a company, you know, as far as the strategy is concerned, we'll double down on whatever we are doing, make the big brands bigger. That's one thing. The second thing, you know, we will also be ensured, and very proud of the R&D that we have built up, we keep on getting, you know, products from our R&D. Even today when I'm speaking to you, all the products, you know, which have come from our R&D, like whether it's ascorbate, Aurobe for HT or Aurobe for HCM, or Taws, or for that matter, you know, all cardiovascular compounds, they are doing exceedingly well. So do expect, you know, R&D to contribute to the growth of the company, make big brands bigger. And the third, obviously important vertical that we'll have as part of the strategy is to work on in-licensing from multinationals, also look out for products, you know, from ICMR, and look out for products, you know, which are in early stage of development. That's the strategy we'll follow. I'm very happy to say that Empurance has shown a lot of resilience. That is something, you know, which has happened. I mean, if you look at the global environment, you know what's happening in West Asia, Middle East, or even for that matter, you know what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. And there's so much of uncertainty. Empurance, you know, has shown a lot of resilience, and everyone is absolutely committed to the growth of the company. And that is something, you know, which makes me, and I also take the role of chairman, with the support of each and every Empurance backing me, and obviously support of all the investors, so which means a lot to me, and that's what we are doing. And I think, you know, with the very diversified and geographical presence, you know, in various geographies, the four verticals that I talked to you, I think, you know, going forward, the performance is going to be northwards, is going to improve quarter-over-quarter. And all of us at Emcure, you know, we are very positive about the direction, you know, that company is taking. And obviously, we'll be counting on your support as we move forward. Okay, with that, you know, I will complete my this one opening remarks. Thank you. Just, you know, I would like to reiterate my confidence in Emcure to deliver low to mid-teen revenue growth in FY27. As told you, in a quarter out to quarter, you know, there will be lot more moments, positive moment. And as we discussed in the past, we are committed to give 70 to 100 basis point of EBITDA margin expansion. So very bullish about the business. With that, you know, I will request my CFO task to give it a more color and run through the financials before we open the...
Good afternoon, everyone. I will now walk you through our financial performance for Q1 FY27. Unless stated otherwise, all growth numbers in my remarks are on a year-on-year basis. Revenue from operations grew 22.8% to INR 2,580 crores, reflecting strong execution across both domestic and international business. Growth was broad-based, with international markets continuing to be the bigger growth driver, while the domestic business delivered a resilient performance. Domestic revenue grew 10.2% to 1,095 crores, led by strong performance across key therapies, including CNS, cardiology, and women's health franchise. International business grew 34.2% to 1,485 crores, continuing to be a key growth engine for the company. Europe grew 32.8%, supported by amortization scale-up and steady execution in the base business. Canada grew 24.6%, led by new launches and market share gains. Emerging markets rest of the world delivered strong growth of 44.8%, supported by robust growth in the ARV segment and continued momentum in the non-ARV segment. Gross profit stood at 1,507 crores, up 16.1%. Gross margin was 58.4%. Margins declined year over year, led by increased exports and also a function of products and business mix. R&D investments were INR 90 crores, representing 3.5% of revenue. R&D investments are expected to pick up in the remainder of the fiscal year to support our full year plans. EBITDA grew 25.8% to 508 crores, reflecting the benefits of scale, operating leverage, and continued productivity initiatives. EBITDA margins improved to 19.7%, up 50 bps, supported by operating efficiencies and disciplined cost management. Depreciation and amortization grew to 110 crores from 99 crores in Q1 of FY26. Interest costs were 32 crores. Effective tax rate for the quarter stood at 25.6%. Profit after tax grew 35.4% to INR 292 crores, with PAT margin improving 110 bps. This reflects strong operating performance and improved profitability. Gross debt as on 30th June stood at 1,291 crores, with cash and cash equivalents at 189 crores. Net debt stood at 1,103 crores. Net debt is expected to increase in the next quarter, reflecting the Mantra and Genova payouts completed in July. Looking ahead, we remain focused on sustaining growth across our domestic and international businesses, improving operating efficiencies, and driving steady margin expansion over the medium period. With that, I will open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please click on the raise hand tab. When the operator announces your name, please accept the prompt on your screen to unmute your microphone and then proceed with your question after introducing yourself and your company name. Our first question comes from Kunal Randeria. Please accept the prompt on your screen to unmute your audio and go ahead with your question after introducing yourself.
Hi, Kunal Randeria here from Axis Capital. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, firstly on the India business, good to see that the growth has touched double digits as you guided in the last quarter. Is this a clean growth? I mean, is there any element of channel filling over here after Q4? Or is this how the growth, should be going forward also?
So there is no channel filling in this, Kunal. This is a normalized growth that we have. And I think as the CEO mentioned, we expect growth to improve further from these levels that we have seen in the coming quarters.
Right. And this improvement in growth would be, I mean, I know CEO sir said a few things about the existing brands, the therapies are doing well. How much of your revenue contribution would be coming from some of these in-licensed products? Are they growing in line with the company average or below that or above that? Some color would be helpful.
So I think most of the in-licensed are growing in line with the industry. I think that's what we talked about even when we taken over the portfolio. They will continue growing in line with the industry growth. But where we're talking about faster industry growth, that will be driven more by our own brands across women's health, cardio, CNS, oncology, those segments.
Right. Got it. Second question is on the ROW business. You are coming off a very high base of last year where you had a 42% growth. Now you have 45% growth driven by the ARV business. What would be the ARV contribution? And I mean, would that mean that FY27 base would be higher than 28 could be a bit subdued?
No, so I think we are seeing growth in both our ARV and non-ARV segments. So I don't think we're looking at that FY27 will be abnormally high than it patterns out. Yeah, ARV is higher in the current quarter. So I think about 2/3 of the business in ROW will be ARV in this quarter. But for the full year, we do expect we end up at about that 50-55%.
So, got it. Got it. Got it. And just one more, if I can. I guess the gross margin decline has been lower to the geographic mix of the business. But is there any lever for a gross margin expansion beyond the geographic mix changing?
So I think broadly it is due to the geography mix. We obviously continue to look for ways and means to improve some of the activities around procurement or COGS improvements. So that should continue as an ongoing basis. But by and large, I think we had been guiding historically to about a 50% plus gross margin. But given the strength we're seeing where we're outperforming on the international piece of the business, I think where the gross margin is coming in at or somewhere in that ballpark 59% or 59 to 60% is what one would assume if we continue to see this trend of the international business outperforming.
Perfect. Thanks, Vic. Thanks, Piyush, and all the best and congratulations to Sun. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may click on the raise hand tab. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may click on the raise hand tab. Our next question is from Alankar Garude. Please accept the prompt, unmute your microphone, and go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. Satish Bhai, Piyush, you spoke about domestic growth picking up year on. Just trying to understand where are we in the Zuventus restructuring journey. Maybe in some sense, if you can quantify it, maybe we are 60% there, 70% there. Some sense on that would be useful.
As you said, you know, I have a very interesting statement, which I'm sure you have, Alankar, you got it. There are three phases. You know, first, I told you about stability, consolidation, acceleration. These are the three very specific terms, you know, I used. So, as I told you, know, in the last quarter, we had a problem. We had exuberance as far as Zuventus is concerned. So, now the stability has come back. Normalization has taken place. Consolidation has also happened. And now, you know, we are moving towards acceleration. So, as far as Zuventus is concerned, I think, you know, most of the job has been done. And we are moving in the right direction. So, Zuventus is no more my worry. It's only a question of, you know, putting it on high growth. You know, that's the basic objective in which, you know, we are working. And we have a very good team in place. All new people, you know, they are also fairly well trained. And going forward, you know, you should see good traction as far as Zuventus is concerned.
Sure. Got it. Maybe a follow-up there will be, if we look at the IPM growth, it's clearly picked up over the last 2-3 quarters. And in context of that, MQ's domestic growth, because of the challenges we've seen on the Zuventus front, has been lower. So would you like to call out when exactly would the company be back to growing at par with the market?
So I think from next quarter onwards, you will start seeing that. So if you look at even last year, which we had seen a bit of impact and slowdown now. So that base effect will also start playing off from 2H this year. So I think from second quarter onward, you'll start seeing us more in line with the industry, and then second half will be more faster than industry too.
Second half, you know, Alankar, will be much better. As far as this quarter is concerned, you know, we think, you know, we should be in line with the industry group. And again, you know, as far as Q4 is concerned, if you compare the Q1, you know, over Q4, we have grown by 12.2% or 12.3%. So it's all moving in the right direction.
Got it. The second question is again on domestic growth. I mean, if you strip off the Sanofi diabetes portfolio, if you strip off Roche, Nephro, and Povistra, would you like to give some range as to where the domestic growth was in the first quarter?
I think if I strip out the Sanofi OAD and the Roche, will probably be about 6-7% growth in the quarter.
Got it.
Povistra effectively is a new brand that we are launching out. So.
Got it. And so basically when you talk about growing at par or maybe outperforming the market, you're looking at it at an aggregate level. You're not just looking at the organic growth.
So next quarter onwards, if you look at it, OAD will be in the base. Roche is a much smaller business, so it doesn't move as much.
Got it. The final question before I come back in the queue, maybe Satish bhai to you is, if you look at the traction in semaglutide, Poviztra, not just specifically on Poviztra, but in general for the market, we've seen quite interesting trends over the last few months. Maybe some media articles say that the pickup has been slightly slower. There is inventory in the channel. There are companies who say that more or less the traction has been in sync with expectations. What is your view as far as the pickup is concerned, and how should we expect the market to evolve maybe over the next 3 to 6 months?
I don't have a crystal ball, my dear, because you know, as far as we are concerned, we are marketing innovation, and what has really happened, you know, that apart from marketing Poviztra quite aggressively, one good thing that has happened from our point of view, that last actually 15 days back, you know, Poviztra was clear, or semaglutide of innovator was clear for MASH. So that's one area where we see the growth, and that's one area, you know, where we will possibly have a pole position. But to really opine, you know, what's happening in that particular market, the jury is out. Wait for 3 to 6 months, you know, before we know what's really going on. Because I am given to understand almost 40-50 brands are being launched. So how much is channel stuffing and how much is real, you know, what I would say, consumption, I wouldn't be able to hazard against. I can only talk about, you know, what's happening at our level. And I can only say one thing, you know, as far as Poviztra is concerned, month over month, you know, we are growing.
And if you can comment on the acceptance levels, both among physicians as well as patients, in any instances which you can highlight wherein, which give you confidence that things will pick up going forward?
You know, because what happens to the innovator is concerned, that is our DNA molecule, number one. Then second thing, you know, this part of the public domain, the two major, you know, Indian players, you know, they had a recall. And the third thing, you know, as far as this particular product is concerned, the, you know, biology, I think, you know, what really happens, the absorption or even for that matter, for the celebrity is also a very major challenge. And since, you know, the innovator, Novo Nordisk, and of course, Emcure, you know, we took a decision to make the pricing, you know, very, very competitive. I have every reason to believe that eventually it will emerge winner or will do better than most of the brands. So because first of all, innovation, second thing, you know, massive data that we have, then more and more, you know, publication of clinical trials, you know, which is happening because of the association with the innovator. So things will work out, you know, very well, because the generics, you know, got launched only sometime in the month of March. So there is a lot of noise, a lot of brands. So let's see how it plays out. But it's a question of, you know, survival of the fittest, and that's what will happen over a period of time. And where I feel, you know, we did a very smart thing by getting associated with the innovator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may click on the raise hand tab. Our next question comes from Alok Dalal. Please accept the prompt on your screen and unmute your microphone to proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. On the export side, what is the constant currency growth for the quarter?
I think for the overall company level, the forex impact was about 6% or 6 to 7%. So the international would have been about 12% or.
Okay, thank you. And for growth in Europe and Canada over the coming years, will it be more broad-based growth, or will it be driven by one, two big product opportunities like AMFU, for example?
I think they will continue to be big hitters, you know, that will contribute and continue to gain momentum, whether it's AMFU or some of the other filings that we are expecting approval for shortly. But that said, you know, we have a portfolio approach depending on the market. Say, for example, in UK, we also have a retail presence, so there's a large number of your plain vanilla generics as well, which contributes meaningfully. So I think that mix will continue to happen. Of course, one or two big products will, you know,
contribute more than some of the others?
I think it's a little bit different for the two geographies. So if you look at Europe, multiple countries, I think it's going to be a little bit more concentrated in terms of some of the high-profile pipeline products that we're working on. For Canada, however, single market, I think that's a fairly broad-based growth. There's no sort of big hitter product as such driving concentration in that market.
Yeah. Thank you, Vic. So is EMCO now introduced in all countries of Europe, or is it just a few ones today?
It's pretty much in all the countries, and there also, we are ramping up supplies, so the order book across the different countries should also go up in line with the supplies.
So I think, Anantha, what's happened is we have introduced the product, but again, most of them are tender-based and they'll have their procurement cycles.
Right. So it should pick up in the coming quarters is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay. And last question is on semaglutide for Canada. I saw in the presentation there's a filing lined up for it. So what could be the timeline that we are looking at?
I think we'll be filing in the current quarter.
In this quarter?
Yeah.
Next few months. Okay. So then, Piyush, you will be in the second wave. Do you still feel there's upside once you are able to get approval and launch the product?
I think it will be a decent product. But as you said, Canada, we're not banking on one product which will be a meaningful growth driver. So it will be one of the portfolio products that we have.
Okay. And the product, it was known that it was going to go off patent, and company has a relatively stronger positioning in Canada versus others. So what could be the reason why you are in the second wave as compared to first wave?
Yeah, so, we were looking at semaglutide as a global development. So it was tagging along, whether it's Canada or some of the emerging markets with our domestic development. And then with whatever discussions were ongoing, there was, some delay in terms of looking at expanding that or progressing that. And that's why most of these other markets, which also had patent expiry, it's going to be more a second wave filing than in March when it expired.
Okay. Thank you for taking my questions.
Alok, before we proceed, may I request you to please announce your company name as well?
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Jefferies India Private Limited.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tushar Manudhane. Please accept the prompt on your screen. Unmute your audio and proceed with your question after announcing your company name as well.
Yeah, myself Tushar from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. So firstly on gross margin, while there has been currency benefit as well, what has led to probably lower of the gross margin both year on year as well as quarter on quarter basis? I'm not sure if you have already covered this in your comment.
Tushar, I think it's largely driven by the business and product mix, right? So with Europe and ARV being higher, that leads to a slightly lower GC. Effectively, I think how we've probably talked about in international markets, that certain businesses where it's more B2B model. So probably GC is lower, but at EBITDA level, they are more effective.
Okay. So and this, as this sort of Europe business scales up, or even the Canada business scales up with Quebec, so where do you see this gross margin sort of settling, maybe FY27, 28?
I think 27 will probably be around the 59%.
Yeah, I think if I can just add a little bit of color here. I think at the start of the year, our overall guidance was that overall top line will be growing somewhere in the low to mid-teens. And we expect the gross margin profile of the entire business to be somewhere in the 60 or 60 to 61 sort of frame. Given our strength of performance in Q1 and visibility we have, particularly on some of the order book on the ARV segment, et cetera, we think that in terms of the overall top line guidance, we're more comfortable being at the higher end of the guidance that we had given at the start of the year. Having said that, that'll obviously then, as a mix of that piece being a bit higher, impact the gross margin. So that's where I think Fuchsia's guidance of closer to 59% as an overall mix would be about right on a higher end of the guidance on the top line.
And secondly, on the India business side, it was weighed down growth into price, volume, new launches.
So I think if you look at it, the new launches would have been about 1 to 2%. The rest of it is largely price and volume that we have.
And within that, how much would be volume?
So I think price is about 5% for us, the 4 to 5%.
That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ankush Mahajan. Please accept the prompt, unmute your audio, and proceed with your question.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is related to the Povzitra. How is the response from the market? Because it's an innovative product when we compare it with the generic products. And what kind of a market share we are building in this product now?
As I told sometime back, you know, we are getting traction month after month. So early days, as I told sometime back, you know, very recently approved, you know, for MASH. So we are also approaching hepatologists and gastroenterologists. So let's see how it plays out. But having said that, you know, I think there is a lot of cacophony and a lot of noise, you know, because so many brands are being marketed. Eventually, over a period of time, in the back of innovation, our DNA molecule, then even for that matter, a lot of data, you know, is coming from the parent company, we should emerge as one of the bigger players, you know, over a period of time. And I see that traction month after month.
Thanks. So my second one is related to the very strong growth in the rest of world business. So what are the reasons behind it?
No, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, as we can alluded some time back, as far as emerging markets are concerned, I mean, as far as the current quarter is concerned, it is driven by ARV. Though, if you look at the full year, there will be both, you know, ARV and the rest of the business should be 50-50. And as far as the European market is concerned, that is also being driven by the differentiated technology-driven product, you know, that we are launching. And even for that matter, you know, we are also getting traction because of the bolt-on acquisition that we did in UK in the form of MAX, that is also adding to the business, because most of the products are now commercialized. And obviously, as far as Canada is concerned, we have a very strong base. And Canada, again, what really happens, you know, was that we have a very strong product pipeline. So it's a very rounded strategy, you know, that the company is following in terms of, you know, solid growth and getting a lot of approvals, and that we continue to drive the business in these three geographies.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. That's from my side.
Ankush, maybe have your company name as well, please.
Yeah, I'm from the Centrum Wealth.
Thank you. Our next question is from Forum Palik. Please accept the prompt, unmute your audio, and proceed with your question after introducing yourself and your company name.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Forum Palik. I'm from BOB, Bank of Baroda Capital Markets. My first question is on the net debt. So in our opening remarks, we mentioned about net debt going up in the next quarter, while it has also gone up in this quarter. So if you can talk about our strategy of debt repayment, or by when can we expect to become net cash?
So I'll answer your last question first. Probably by the end of FY28, we should be net cash. And on the question on the debt going up, I'll answer the one why it won't go up in the next quarter. We have made these payments for acquisition of Mantra and also the Genova minority stakes. So that will take up my debt by close to around 450 to 500 crores. On your question on why the debt went up from Q4 to Q1, yes, my working capital went up a little bit, but that's now stabilized in this month. So that will come to normal thing in this quarter. So by the end of next quarter, we should have a net debt of close to around 1450 crores. From what today I see at 1560 crores.
That's helpful. My second question is on our domestic organic growth, which was mentioned as 6 to 8% growth. So if you can give us some color, why is the organic growth growing at a slower pace, and how do we see organic growth pacing, you know, going forward? Will it come at par with the IPM?
Yeah, I don't know if you were able to capture. I think the CEO had answered that if you look at year-over-year quarter, part of that high, or let's say mid to high single-digit growth for organic was impacted by some of the consolidation happening at Zaventus level. I think as we look for the rest of the year, our guidance is that we'll be in line for the Q2 and, in fact, faster than industry growth as we accelerate, Zaventus back to kind of what we had seen off of the lower base of last year for the second half of this year. So we're confident in terms of the overall guidance that even the organic business should be growing at par or faster than the industry growth when you look at the full year.
Sure, that's helpful. Thirdly, on the R&D side, we mentioned that R&D expense is also likely to go up. So some guidance, if you could share, what is the number that we should be working for FY27, the contribution?
R&D, I think what we talked about for the full year will be between that 4 to 5% range. So I think we continue to maintain that out.
Sure. And lastly, is it possible for us to give the segment and constant currency growth for the international market?
I don't think we break that out, but broadly, as I said, for the overall corporate level, it's about 6% forex impact. International level, about 12-13%.
Sure. Thank you. That's all from my side. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from Alankar Garude. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the follow-up. This is Alankar from Kotak Institutional Equities. Sir, you were earlier planning to launch semaglutide in Quebec via partnership in the with Reddy's in the second quarter, the current quarter. Now, post the issue faced by Dr. Reddy's, what are the revised timelines?
I think Aranda will defer to Reddy's on this. What's the time? No. So whenever we have the product with us, we'll be able to launch it out. But I think for timelines, I'll probably Reddy's will be the right.
Okay. No, so just checking there. I mean, they have mentioned about a relaunch possibly in November. Earlier, there was a lag between the launch in Quebec and the rest of Canada. So just checking whether that lag will be there at the time of the relaunch as well, or you'll be launching it in Quebec at the same time as Reddy's launches in Canada, rest of Canada?
I think it will depend on how the supplies from Reddy's shape up and how much supplies you can get.
Fair enough. Okay. And the other question was, historically, if I look at the domestic market, there are some of these metrics like covered market and number of brands prescribed per doctor, where MQR has been lower than most of your relevant peers. So as you do more of licensing deals apart from new launches, how should we expect this to move as you progress on your five-year roadmap?
No, of course, so as far as domestic is concerned, very close to our heart, and we should be not only on par with the industry, we should do better than them. That is the strategy on which we are working. And that's what I was telling some time back. As far as domestic is concerned, there are three levers on which we'll be working. We'll try and make big plans bigger. We have some real jewels in the armory. The second thing, you know, we'll obviously be working with multinationals and other in-licensing products. That is number two. And as I told you, some time back, more than 30 to 35% of my sales are coming from the products which are developed by R&D. Whether you are talking about ferrous ascorbate, ferric carboxyl maltose, or 11-12 carylithium compounds so that my company has given, or connective laser for both stroke and MI. So that journey will continue. So obviously, you know, as I was telling you some time back, the process of consolidation phase is over. We are moving towards acceleration. And you will see a lot of, good news, you know, as far as the domestic market is concerned going forward. Personally, I am very bullish about it.
So, if I could just add, I think the whole rationale we've been highlighting for some of these in-licensing deals is these are, in some cases, very strong legacy brands that come with strong pen habits of the doctors. And so we believe that, you know, with the complementarity of MCure's portfolio, we obviously want to leverage the co-prescription along with those writing habits. So that is indeed, you know, the overall strategy to see that the co-prescription should go up as we, you know, handle some of these in-licensing assignments along with our portfolio that we continue to build.
That's quite helpful, Satish Bhai and Vic. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please click on the raise hand tab or icon on your screen. As we have no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dorgan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. In case you have any further questions or need any clarifications, please do get in touch with us. With this, we conclude the conference call. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you. On behalf of MCure Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect.